Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Cal Gunvall, and Cal's one of our supporters, and we have him on because we like to talk about what's really happening to our country financially. Now, certainly the dollar has been dropping in reference to other currencies. It's not really being felt here in the United States because China has pegged its currency to the American dollar. So as the dollar falls, why the Chinese currency falls. So the things that we're importing really aren't costing that much in the way of money. The great tragedy is, of course, if you go to Europe, you're going to have to be paying a great deal more. In fact, things in America are a real bargain for Europeans. They'd like to come over here and buy our industries and buy our property because they've got all the dollars, and everything is much cheaper in America because the dollar, the value of the dollar has fallen in reference to the European currencies. Well, where we're getting into trouble is, of course, oil is going up, not necessarily because the price of oil is going up, but because the value of the dollar is going down. And the same thing is happening with both gold and silver, at least in large part because of the fall in the value of the dollar, why the relative cost of the gold and silver goes up in reference to the American dollar. But if you were holding a European currency, why gold and silver and oil would not be going up. And this is what the American people do not understand. This is what happens at the end of an economic cycle when you have irresponsible politicians and, of course, central bankers who are intent upon destroying the value of the American currency. And you only have to read the Master Plan and the Earth Charter, where they talk about the purpose and the function, point number 10. Redistribution of the wealth within nations and between nations. Redistribution of wealth between nations. So what they're talking about is redistributing our wealth, lowering our living standards. America has been targeted for destruction by the central bankers of the world, who of course work right along with the people who wrote the Earth Charter. Who are they? Mikhail Gorbachev, former dictator of Russia, Marie Strong, a multi-billionaire, very closely aligned with the Rockefellers, and of course Stephen Rockefeller, who will probably lead the Rockefeller clan when his uncle, David Rockefeller, dies, passes away, goes to his just rewards. And I'm sure he will, because I believe he's one of the most evil men in the world, one of the real leaders of this whole movement that controls both political parties and intent upon the destruction of America. Well, with that as the background, we see here in America why gold goes up. Gold has dropped off a little bit. And, of course, it's all being manipulated. What they do is they intentionally confuse the people. They're artificially keeping the stock market up so that the American people will not be alarmed, at least not at the present time. And the major thrust is, how are you out there in the listening audience going to be able at least to preserve some element of what you've spent your life working for, when our leaders of both political parties are intent upon this this idea of globalization and the redistribution of your wealth to other countries. Cal, what do you take about what's going on today? And you sent me some fascinating things in the mail and faxed them to me. And I thought one of the most interesting things was that it was at Morgan Stanley, I think it was Morgan Stanley, was taking a strong gold position back in 1999. They knew it was going to happen. That was one of the most fascinating things that you sent me today. Why don't you pick up the story?
Yeah, it was Goldman Sachs.
Goldman Sachs, okay.
Goldman Sachs, but that was in August of 99. They have an article, pardon me, that it's part of another information package that I'd be glad to send to anybody who calls in.
Go ahead.
And, of course, the bankers being very, very shrewd back in 97 when I got into the gold-coined business, working for a large company in Minneapolis, gold was $352 an ounce. And, of course, back then, nobody knew what was going to happen with the computers and Y2K. And so the bankers then went to work and heavily manipulated gold downward to 252, and it hit that in August of 1999. At that point, Goldman Sachs bought $124 million worth of gold, you know, from the COMEX, from the mercantile. And it was interesting that this article, somebody told me about it, but this article was from the Los Angeles Times, and it was on page 17 underneath the want ads. And so that's just the way they operate. You know, while they debase gold and lower it in value, when it gets at the bottom, they pick up massive amounts of it while they're telling the public, what do you want gold for? It's just a thing of the past. It's no good. But, you know, it's going down in value. What do you want it for? So it's all a reverse psychology campaign while the big boys buy gold and then scoff at it so the common people stay away from it.
All right, fine. So I think that's so interesting that Goldman Sachs had actually was acquiring a massive amount. So we're talking about it would look like $100 million worth of gold, something like that. Do you remember the exact figure?
It was $124 million.
$124 million worth of gold back in 1999. So the big boys understand what's really happening. We know that Warren Buffett is actually shorting the American dollar. He had, as of June of this year, he had something like $19 million leveraged into $19 billion leveraged in derivatives, shorting the dollar. He's heavily into silver. These people understand what the plan is, the master plan to impoverish the American people. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience and you don't know what the Earth Charter is, why, you can look it up on the Internet. If you'd like to, of course, you can get a copy of that from Radio Liberty. We'll send it to you. And read it through very carefully. Understand that these are the people who are very close to the people who rule the world, and they want to redistribute the wealth between nations. Remember that, as you see, of course, the dollar falling and our living standards going down as more and more people lose their jobs. It's all part of a very well-planned scenario, but they can't tell the American people. The American people would rise up in righteous indignation. Why, of course, they might even realize we have one political party with two branches, one the Republican, the other Democrat. We'll be back here with Cal in just a moment. All right, Cal. Well, certainly the dollar has been falling and falling rather dramatically here, even in the last 2 or 3 months, and down another 10% or something of the sort. So what do you see unfolding at the present time?
Well, if I may reiterate briefly a story that I told last time, it's rather telling, and it's been happening that in the last 2.5 years the dollar has dropped 50% in value, and one of my suppliers in New York City was riding home on the subway one evening and struck up a conversation with a man sitting next to him about the economy, how bad it was, and how the dollar's falling, and the man started expounding to him, you know, about fiscal policy and currencies and the economy and the dollar and everything. And he said that there's a 12-member Federal Reserve Board, and six of them have determined to drop the value another 20% in value just to make, you know, their goods more saleable overseas. And this supplier friend of mine was very upset about that. He said that's just another as a way of robbing 20% of the wealth from the American people without their even knowing it or consenting. And so this is what the Fed is intending to do, and they're just a self-serving bunch, as we know. And they're in bed with the big corporations, some of the corporations who are still exporting our goods and their goods. So it's just all a big it has to do with money, and they don't care if they rob the American people or not, and that's what they're doing.
Well, I think what people have to understand is the dollar goes down, then our goods are cheaper for other countries to buy. In other words, they really will cost less in reference to other currencies, and so this will be good for exporting. The only trouble is that it will mean down the line that everything we buy from other countries will begin going up, certainly as they begin to cut themselves loose from our currencies, because what we're in effect doing is exporting our inflation to their countries, and we're keeping inflation in check here. The problem is the dollar continues dropping, and the other countries throughout the world, about 80% of their reserves are denominated in American dollars. In other words, they're holding our currency as their reserves, because in the past it's always been a stable currency, but as it declines in value, they lose the value of their reserves. So certain of the countries seem to be getting increasingly out of the dollar as a reserve currency. In fact, they're keeping our economy alive by the central banks of the world buying up the paper that we are put out every single day so we can continue spending more than we're taking in, and we can continue our negative balance of payments deficit in trade, and then the massive deficit we have. And of course, the government has said why we had a deficit of about $422 billion last year. But they're lying. They always lie. They completely ignore all the money they stole from Social Security and Medicare. So it really was well over $600 billion, over $500 billion deficit this last year, which is why, of course, they had to raise the debt limit up from $730 billion, I believe it is, up to almost well over $7.3 trillion to over $8 trillion. That's the new debt limit, and we will be there very soon. Certainly the administration has come back as soon as the election was over and asked for another, they said we thought it was going to be $70 billion so we can continue fighting the war in Iraq, but I was wrong. They're now asking for $80 billion so we can continue war over there. It's almost a genocidal war. Over 100,000 Iraqis, military and civilians, have been slaughtered as we freed the people from the wicked Saddam Hussein, who was killing the Iraqi people. Well, Cal, as we look and see what's happening financially, we see the falling dollar. We see the rising price of oil now. They've got it down a little bit because they're manipulating everything. They've even dropped the price of gold and silver, so that a lot of the people who are investing in that seem to have lost a little in their enthusiasm. But where do you see us going, especially in view of the past history, and you have sent me a good deal of information on that, going into this whole artificial monetary system we have, which is based upon not upon gold, not upon silver, but upon a massive debt, and that debt has gotten so massive, I don't see how it can possibly be maintained. Do you?
Well, no, and all these numbers are so mind-boggling, I don't think the average person, I can't comprehend it. I mean, where is it going to go except down? We all need to focus on what we can do about this, and of course we can't turn around the monster or stop the train on the tracks, but we certainly can do something about our own personal finances by taking a hard look at what's ahead of us, and that's what most people have a hard time doing, is looking down the road. And of course, if you know history as you do, Dr. Stan, what's happened in other countries. The paper currency loses value, and eventually fails. Every paper currency ever printed has failed, and our dollar is in the process, as you know. In the last 2.5 years, the dollar has dropped 50% in value, and the Fed's going to drop it another 20. What happens to everybody's money in the bank or investments or whatever? The numbers stay the same, but the purchasing power is cut in half now. So what happens when purchasing power is cut in another 20%? It's just not going to be there. In fact, I've also noted that in the past 3 years, gold has gone up 62%, while the dollar has dropped 50%. So the spread's getting wider and wider, and of course, gold is reacting to the dollar falling and all the other bad economic news. Another thing that I was, you know, talking to one of my clients yesterday, and she said that a friend of hers, a family, went to Belgium for a vacation over there, and before they got into the country, they converted a few dollars, she didn't say where, into euros. When they got to Belgium, every business that they went to, they said no to dollars. We will not take your dollars. If, unless you have euros, you know, forget it. You're going to stay in the street. So they spent the few euros that they had, they wouldn't take dollars, they wouldn't take credit cards. And they, you know, they barely made it back home. Another one of her friends came back from Mexico. Mexico, of all places, they're rejecting dollars too. They would not take a dollar.
Yeah, that's really so interesting.
They would take credit cards, but they wouldn't take dollars.
That's really so interesting, because we understand that in China, the last 3 or 4 weeks, why the average Chinese person who has any money at all is getting out of dollars. Traditionally, they've held dollars because they felt it was a stable currency. They're getting out of dollars, they're getting into the Chinese currency or into gold. And this was an article up on rents. So, and then, of course, we know it was either 2 or 3 weeks ago tomorrow when a man named Stephen Roach, that's Steve Roach, R-O-A-C-H, who is a senior economist for Morgan Stanley, in a private briefing, and, of course, he's one of the leading economists in the world, told the people there that he felt that we had a 90% chance of facing a financial Armageddon here in the United States, a 90% chance of a financial Armageddon in the United States. Only 10% chance we'd be able to avoid that. A 30% chance will happen soon. A 60% chance will muddle along. Now, you can find that on the internet if you go to Google and type in Stephen or Steve Roach, R-O-A-C-H, Armageddon. They pretty well hid the article. It's hard to find, but type in Steve Roach Armageddon, and you'll find that this is absolutely true. But they can't let the American people know that. If the American people realize that, why, they might panic. They would not be manipulated so readily by the controlled media. So, you know, as you see these things unfolding, Cal, where do we go? We see the value of the dollar falling, and, of course, how does this play out? Because we have a totally fiat money system. We have absolutely nothing behind our money. People have accepted our money because we were the strongest economy and we had a stable dollar. But as the dollar begins to fall in value, do you think people throughout the world are going to continue investing in a dollar that is backed by the integrity of the current administration that everybody in the world is beginning to lose faith in?
No, and you can see it. You can see it happening. It's almost in mass. Foreign governments are rejecting the dollar now. But of course, it doesn't get into our media. You know, the government would never allow that, because then people would know. Well, if foreign governments are rejecting the dollar, why are they? It's because it's lost so much value, it's basically worthless. And then the American public would say, well, what can I do then? And of course, gold and silver have never been an option, because the government has been bad-mouthing it for years. And that's why people have not even considered it. But if you look back in history, gold and silver have been money for 5,000 years. They're the standard. And, of course, the standard over here is deception. And most people want to get in the stock market to make a lot of money, or CDs or annuities or any kind of other, you know, paper instrument. But that's all they are, is paper instruments. And everything that's dollar denominated, when the dollar finally fails, is going to be worthless along with the dollar. So the only thing, you know, if you look at what gold and silver have done, you know, in the last 3 years, you know, gold's gone up 62%, so where is the value? And, you know, of real money, it's gone up. But people think, of course, the media buries all that. They don't want you to know it. Just like that article that you mentioned about Goldman Sachs buying $124 million worth of gold. They don't want anybody to know that. That's why they buried it on page 17 under the want ads.
You know, I think it's so interesting that going back for 200 years, the Rothschild family has maintained the world price of gold on a daily basis. And about 3 or 4 months ago, why the Rothschilds stopped maintaining the world gold price. In other words, they got out of being the person who would buy or sell the gold and maintain the price. The same thing is true with silver. Silver price for many years, decades, has been maintained by a great fortune, a family fortune, AIG, which is a large insurance company, but they have been manipulating the silver price and maintaining it. And about 2 months ago, they got out of it. So why did the Rothschilds and AIG, why did the Rothschilds get out of the making the gold market, AIG making the silver market? Because I think they know that there's going to be some very volatility in those markets, and they don't want to be on the wrong end of that. Well, we've got Brad calling from Washington, and right now our guest today is this evening is Cal Grunwald. We'll be back here in just a moment, and of course we'll welcome your calls from out across America. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and right now we've got Brad calling from Washington. Hi, Brad. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. You know, you guys talk about $124 million and all these multi-billion-dollar corporations, but when the money fails and, you know, Mr. Family Man like me doesn't have any savings, I mean, or minimal savings, and I don't necessarily owe a lot of my home, and I don't really have a lot of expenses, but... When it all shakes down and the dollar ain't worth nothing, what are we going to do?
Well, you're going to have, first of all, you should be making some preparation now. This is a squirrel prepares for winter. You do the best that you can with what you have. And you try to get some other families together so that you can support one another. In the final analysis, you're going to have to rely upon the Lord, but you'd be very foolish not to make whatever possible arrangements you could make now for very difficult times, which I believe lie ahead.
Well, that's true. I mean, we butcher out our own meat that we grow. We make our own bread. We make our own butter and cheese and have our own fresh milk. And, I mean, the really expensive things we don't even buy in the store anyway, you know. I mean, just day-to-day stuff we don't even buy. We use electric heat, you know. I mean,
well, you're a lot better off than most people. Let's ask Cal. Cal, how would you respond to Brad, who's calling us from Washington State?
Well, it's a very sincere question, and I get that. I get asked that all the time. And as you already said, you know, Brad's already doing that. You're preparing your own food, or people should have at least a year's worth of food to set aside, and you can do that rather strategically as you go without really, you know, crimping too much into your income.
Well, most of our food is on the hoof, so.
Yeah, well, if yours is on your hoof, then you're in good shape.
But, Brad, do you have a job outside of your farm?
Yeah, I have a very, very well-paying job, and I've actually been in the process of paying myself out of debt for some years, and I basically have a house payment, and that's it.
All right, fine. Well, just get the debt load down and start salting things away, and Cal will be talking more about that later. Go ahead, Cal.
Well, again, my recommendation, I'm very, very big on silver, especially what's called 90% or junk silver, you know, the dimes, quarters, and halves that were minted prior to 1965. Those are the coins that you're going to use for barter when the currency collapses. And I recommend a bag of silver per household. Now, if you can't afford a bag, you get a half a bag or quarter bag. You don't have to be, you don't have to get a bag if you can't.
So that's what kind of money are they charging for a bag of that stuff?
For me?
How much is a bag of silver now, 90% coins?
Well, 90% is around $5,900 right now.
And what about 40% silver, if they want to get 40% silver?
40%, I don't recommend that, just because it's kind of hard to determine the value, and I've never sold a bag of 40%.
All right, fine.
That's a lot. It's a lot less than 90%, but like I said, I wouldn't recommend it.
But I think that, Brad, there is at least a potential for an up move in silver simply because there's a shortage in the world supply. So you may be able to even make a profit on that. Most of the things, you really want to just preserve what you have. Don't think about getting rich. Just think about preserving what you have and being able to take your family in the difficult times that lie ahead. And I really believe there are going to be difficult times, not only because of the economic history of this nation, because the moral history in this nation is turned against God. And there's no incidence in all history where a nation is turned against God, where God has not brought punishment on that nation.
Well, you know, I remember the verse that says that you'll throw your gold and your silver in the streets because it'll be worthless, you know.
Hold that thought for just a moment.
Sure.
Sure. And, Brad, there may come a time when you're not going to be able to use it, but we don't know that for certain. It wouldn't be far better to be prepared than to find out, of course, that that you've been misled. I think that you need to do something to protect your solvency, you know, because you're going to need something to barter with.
Right.
I'd like to comment.
Go ahead.
I'd like to comment on that verse. I think that verse is more talking about those rich people who have trusted in their gold and silver, and they will throw it in the streets because there's no remedy. It doesn't necessarily refer to those who believe in the Lord, who have taken some precautions and use the gold and silver for barter. It's more that those who have trusted in the gold and silver to save them, and we're certainly not.
Amen, right. Okay.
And I don't think that gold and silver is ever going to save your soul from eternal damnation.
No.
Okay, well, anything else, Brad?
No, sir. You've answered my question very well.
Okay, fine.
Thank you.
And I think you're in pretty good shape. You know, whereabouts is that farm? No, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right, to go to Tony calling from SoCal. Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Oh, fine, Dr. Stan. I think I disagree with all of the above on the last comments.
All right, go ahead.
But going back to where I do agree...
Well, no, tell us where you don't agree.
No. That's too... But where I do agree is the fact that gold and silver is real wealth.
All right.
And it's no one else's liability. If you own it, it's yours. There's no interest to be paid on it. There's no debt anywhere. It belongs to you. I mean, and it's real honest money. It really is. And it will always, pretty much be worth something.
All right.
But I'm 51. You're a little older than I am. But I'm sure you remember the days where... one or two silver dollars was still a day's wages.
I mean, one silver dollar was a day's wage. I can remember my father-in-law built a lodge up in Canada, and he paid the people a dollar a day during the Depression, and the people were glad to come and get that dollar a day.
And that was real good pay then.
Right.
For a dollar a day. And I remember when I was small, my dad, he talked about those days, making 8-10 cents an hour, and that was pretty good money in his day.
Right.
So, but that was in real money, real gold and silver. And I don't think a lot of people appreciate the fact that gold and silver, especially silver dollars, the walking Liberty ones, the newer ones that the United States Mint's been putting out, they sell for a little bit more than about a dollar and a half more than a round would. But they're a beautiful coin. And it's a real United States silver dollar. And, they're relatively cheap. And if you look at it compared to a day's wages, whatever a person makes now for a day's wages, you can see that they're very well could be very highly undervalued.
All right. How would you respond to Tony there, Cal?
Anything that's real silver, real gold is going to be extremely valuable in the days ahead. And I was talking to a lady today as an example. If silver is roughly $7 an ounce, and she buys a bag of silver, say for $6,000, when silver gets to $50 an ounce, you multiply that bag, which is $6,000 times seven, and it's worth $42,000. And it's not the fact that you're going to make money. And I stress that over and over to people. You're not looking to get rich on this, even though it multiplies 7 to 10 times. The point is, you're going to have that much purchasing power at that time to survive. You and your family, you'd be able to help people if you had the foresight to put some of this aside.
Okay, Tony, anything else you'd like to say?
Well, where I disagreed with all of the above...
All right, go ahead.
...was that the scripture was concerning gold and silver, in particular the last days. It said, in the last days, men would weep and wail and throw their silver and gold into the streets, for it would have no value. And... I believe that that's going to happen. Now, personally, I'm an investor.
Well, I do too, but that's talking about unbelievers, not believers.
No, it could be very well that we're going into a cashless society. They're going to try to take us into a cashless society.
Well, that's exactly my point. That point will come. When it's going to happen, I can't say. But someday that will come to where you're going to have a choice to take a mark on your hand or your forehead. And if you don't take that mark or implant or chip or whatever it may be, you won't be able to buy or sell. And the fact is if you do take that mark or implant, you're doomed to hell, go, and there's no get out of jail free. So that's the point where I believe that it's the separating of the wheat and the chaff between the believers and the non-believers.
Well, I think we're headed into some very, very difficult times. I think that you really can't understand what lies ahead unless you understand the scriptural implications of what's happening. And, you know, the fact that 2,000 years ago on an island in the Aegean Sea, a man named John could have written about a time where you'd neither buy nor sell lest you wore the mark of the beast or were known by the number of his name. How did he know that the time had come? He's describing the caste society. It's almost like he was looking down over 2,000 years. He knew exactly what was going to happen. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and apropos of what Tony was saying, and of course he's quoting the scriptures, and Tony is a very, very a good student of the scriptures. But, of course, the one thing, of course, that it was should be very apparent to people, and is not, is that silver is no longer a monetary metal as it was 2,000 years ago. Gold is still primarily a monetary metal. Silver is not. Silver is used in all sorts of electronic activities, are things that nothing else will replace silver with, and that's why whether it's in your cell phone, whether it's in your computer, whether it's in anything electronically, you have to have silver. And if there's a shortage of silver, we're consuming more silver than is actually being produced, and they get into a squeeze. Why the upside potential, I think, for silver is phenomenal. What are your thoughts on that, Cal?
Well, I guess I'd like to back up a little bit and respond to what Tony had to say. And see, as I can see, you know, I know the scriptures fairly well myself, having studied the Bible for over 10 years, but anyway, I don't do that anymore. But I see what's coming ahead of us, two cultures emerging. The first one is the culture that takes the mark of the beast, and that's going to be the masses. Whether you want to say 90 to 95% of the world, that's going to be the masses. They're going to take the mark of the beast, whether it's a plastic card, or it's a ration card, or it's a chip, or it's a mark, whatever it is, they're going to take that. And then, as we talked about last time, the banks are in the process of phasing out cash. So they're squeezing us, they're squeezing all of us into their own mold. So if we want the mark of the beast, we'll get our ration card, we'll get our plastic card, we'll get our whatever we're going to get. I shouldn't say we, but the people are going to get. And you know, and the government will say, well, here's your daily ration of food, clothes, here's where you're going to live, everything else. But those of us who do not want to take the mark are going to have some alternate kind of currency to survive, to buy, sell, and trade with each other, for instance. As we know, just like the early church. You know, the believers hid in the catacombs. They went from house to house. They were in hiding. They got persecuted. This is going to be the other culture that's going to emerge. And they're going to go two different ways. The masses are going to go one way, and the believers that don't want to take the mark of the beast are going to go another way. And we're going to have the real currency that the Lord set up is gold and silver. Even though silver now is not a monetary metal, it's going to be a monetary metal in the days ahead, because the Lord put a value on gold and silver back then, and that same value of silver as a monetary metal is going to come forward again. So that's what I see happening. And so those of us who are believers are going to have some real money, just like in World War II, they dropped British, you know, the British Air Force. They gave them British sovereigns in their ammunition.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest today is evening is Cal Grunwald. Go ahead. Cal was telling us that certainly during the Second World War, gave the British flyers, they gave them sovereigns, gold sovereigns, what, in case they got shot down, they could use that to barter, perhaps to get themselves home?
That's right. Well, it's not necessarily to get themselves home, although that was the ultimate goal, is to get home again, but if they got shot down, even though, you know, behind enemy lines, they could go to a village or a house and say, you know, can I have some food? Can I have some shelter? Would you protect me from the Nazis? And, you know, to give a peasant a British sovereign, which is a quarter ounce of gold, is just like giving them a whole year's wages. And so this is what's going to happen in the days ahead, as history has already, you know, indicated to us from times past. if we have what other people want, among the people that will take the mark of the beast, there are always going to be those people who are sympathizers. They don't have the courage to take, you know, not to take the mark themselves, but because they have some humanity, compassion on people, they'll say, oh yeah, I'll take that gold coin, or I'll take that silver coin, and I'll give you what you need, I'll make you a little food, so it's not just going to be among ourselves. There'll be people that will take these things in exchange for, you know, essentials of life.
Well, you know, people do not realize how rapidly things are happening. I got a call this evening from my good friend, Dr. Dennis Cuddy. We have a mutual friend in Colorado first name is Catherine, and she lives up at 10,000 feet. It's very, very cold, and, of course, all the electricity went off. So she had a generator, and she was able to heat her home, to function. She had a small wood stove. But then the generator went out, and now she's really freezing up in her home. So she goes down to the city, goes to the credit union where she's done business for years. She wants to get some of her money out, and of course they say, we can't give it to you unless you have a picture identity card. She says, I've come here for years. Well, I'm sorry, you have to have a picture identity card. The Office of Homeland Security says that you have to have a picture identity card or you can't get any money out of the bank. So she has a passport. So she shows them the passport. The passport's expired. It's an older passport. It's a year expired. I'm sorry, you can't have any money. The Office of Homeland Security says you can't have any money. She says, I'm in here every day. You know who I am. You know my name. Oh, yes, we know your name. But the Office of Homeland Security says you can't have any money unless you have a valid, up-to-date picture identity card. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about something imaginary. We're talking about something going on right now. This is being increasingly required at banks all across the country in the name of security, fighting those wicked terrorists. Osama bin Laden, who incidentally we always let escape, and I'm not even sure he's still alive. Some of the things he puts out today certainly sound they were written by the CIA. And how do we know? Well, the only thing we know is that the CIA says that this is obviously Osama bin Laden. And yet if you analyze carefully what he's saying, it looks more like that speech was, Osama bin Laden's words were written in Langley, Virginia, rather than a cave over in Pakistan. So, be that as it may, they're using the threat of terrorism to take away our freedom. And this woman eventually was able to get somebody else to come down and to get some of the money out of their account because they had a picture identity card. But if you don't have a picture identity, the other thing was the woman went down to get her driver's license, and of course they wouldn't give her a picture identity card as they used to immediately. Why, they said it would take 20 days before she got it. She said, I'll freeze to death. I'll freeze. My family will freeze. You know, our animals will freeze. I'm sorry. Office of Homeland Security says we cannot issue you a driver's license at the present time since you've lost yours. It'll be 20 days. We have to send this application off to the Office of Homeland Security. So, the day will soon come where we need to buy or sell. And it's amazing how the American people are going along with this because they really believe that there's a danger of Islamic terrorism. Every means of communication tells us that. Our leaders tell us there's a danger of Islamic terrorism. But is there really that much of a danger? If there is, why don't we seal our borders? Why don't we stop the Islamic terrorists from coming across our borders? Why hasn't there been an attack on America since September 11th? Maybe nothing is quite as it appears to be. So pick up on that thought, Cal. And then, of course, the packet that you're sending up is pretty fascinating. Has a lot of information in it I hadn't seen before. Would you like to tell our listeners what's in that packet you're making available to people?
Right. I'd be glad to. And I see you're talking about banks and how difficult it is to get any money out of banks. Well, this one of the documents that I'm offering now, along with my paper, my 26-page paper on gold and how to avoid the scams in the coin industry, that's still available free. But I have a document here called the Emergency Banking Order, which was drafted in 1961 by Robert Anderson, who was the Secretary of the Treasury at the time. And of course, it was during the Cold War when anything could erupt. And this document is going to be put in place in the event of a war with the United States. Now, of course, as you know, our government can fabricate anything as it already has. And anything called national emergency or national security, they can put this in place. But
now, basically, this came out, what, in 1981?
1961.
1961, okay.
Right, now, it was drafted, but it was not put in place. But it's waiting in the wings like an executive order to be executed or put in place when things happen. Basically, what it does, and I'm offering this document along with an article on the Fort Knox Gold that's not there anymore. Very, very interesting article. And also there's some articles from the 1933 New York Times when Roosevelt confiscated gold. Some articles from that newspaper that he made up the new banking rules after he declared a two-day banking holiday. And the second rule out of the 14 was opens safety deposit box and safes. So what they did is they raided everybody's safety deposit box back then. Very, very interesting articles. But anyway, getting back to this emergency banking order, I'll just read a little bit of it, but it's free for the asking. It says it restricts cash withdrawals. The banking institutions are further authorized to restrict and ration cash withdrawals to the extent necessary in the event of a sufficient amount of cash should not be available. And another one, banking institutions shall prohibit withdrawals of cash in any case where there is a reason to believe that such withdrawal is sought for the purpose of hoarding. So if you want to save your money, they're going to call you a hoarder, just like they did back, in 33, when if you had any gold coins, you're called a hoarder. And then it also says that they can restrict any kind of withdrawal of any kind of credit or any cash if they think that you are doing something unauthorized. So it's just arbitrary. Whatever they think, just like you said, that the woman had a tremendous hassle. She's getting a few dollars. They knew who she was. This is what this emergency banking order is all about. And they further will only give you money out of your own account, just like Argentina. Doesn't make a difference how much money you had, how many lawyers you had in your back pocket when you arrived at the bank. They're only going to give you money for expenses or reconstruction costs vital to the war effort, 2, essential living costs, 3, taxes, or 4, payrolls if you have a business and that business happens to serve the war effort. So you just got the tourniquet around your neck.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And this is in black and white.
I really think that the government is going to restrict taking money out of this country very, very shortly. I think they're going to put on exchange controls, and we'll be talking maybe a year, 2 years from now. The one thing, of course, we can see what happened in Argentina. When it became obvious that the country was getting into real problems, there was no way they could meet their international debts. There was no way they could pay their payrolls, because, of course, everybody and his uncle was employed by the government. The politicians were living it up. They were spending money like a drunken sailor, destroying the value of the peso, that promised that it was permanently pegged to the dollar. They would never change. Trust the Argentina government, they said. We would not betray you. Don't take your money out of the country. It's safe here. The peso is as good as the dollar. Well, today the peso is worth 30 cents of the dollar, and the people who believe the government lost everything. But the one thing, of course, that happened, the smart money moved out of Argentina into a safe haven, and until, of course, the whole banking crisis was over. Well, we're going to have a crisis. I don't know what is going to come now, whether it's going to come a year from now, 5 years from now, but the government is not going to allow people to maintain any value of their currency, and as it continues dropping, one of these days, I believe they're going to put exchange controls on to keep people from being able to take their money out of the country, as they did in Argentina, and of course, as they did in South Africa. When I lived in South Africa, you could bring money into the country, you just couldn't take it out of the country, and that way you were trapped. The same thing was true in Rhodesia, and as the country went into a situation of chaos and crisis, why the people could not leave, because they couldn't get any money out. And I believe that's exactly what is planned here as we continue this plan program of redistributing a wealth between nations. In other words, redistributing the wealth of the American people throughout the world until one day they wake up and suddenly realize what's happened, and then it's too late. So, Cal, go ahead and tell a little bit more about this package you're going to be able to send out.
Right, and if people want it, they can just call me at 717-648-2682. That's 717-648-2682. Another interesting thing in this emergency banking order is that all these restrictions and limitations do not apply to the United States or any state or any political subdivision thereof. And they also do not apply to the Federal Reserve banks, the Federal Home Banks, banking institutions and branches if they circulate or trade among each other or exchange currency or dollars. So it only applies to the individual person who's got a savings account or a checking account. The severe restrictions are only on individuals, not among institutions. So if you've got the big boys, they have no restrictions, but everybody else, it doesn't really matter, they do.
Isn't that how the system is designed to work? I mean, the idea, of course, that we are a representative democracy or whatever they want to call it. I mean, they run candidates on both tickets. Both of them come from the same skull and bone secret society. And we can vote for the candidate of their choice. And it's all a scam. And they're, of course, using the wealth and the military might of America to bring about this world government. And right now, I believe we're doing everything we can to inflame the Islamic world in preparation for World War III. And if you think the restrictions are tight now, wait till World War III comes about, and there really are some attacks on this country. And our cities across the East Coast and the West Coast are laying in ashes, and at that point in rubble, at that point, well, it's just like it was when I was in Germany after the Second World War. I'm sure the Germans never thought it could happen to them. After all, their leader, Adolf Hitler, was an honest man. He was a Christian man. He kept telling what a Christian man he was. And, of course, he was simply reclaiming the land that rightfully belonged to the Germans. At least that's what they believed. They believed in the morality of their government. And I saw what happened to Germany, a nation that turned against God. Well, Cal, right now, of course, what do you think that people should be doing? What should they be buying? Should they be buying gold coins? Should they be buying collector coins? Should they be buying bags of silver? What about silver rounds? What about the new silver dollars that are being turned out by the U.S. Mint? What are your recommendations?
Well, again, I always go back to what's called junk silver, 90%, because I don't really recommend silver dollars or silver rounds or silver eagles simply because of the they're just too big. There's nothing wrong with silver, but if you get an ounce of silver in a coin like that, which is fine, but if you get into a barter situation when silver is $50 or $75 an ounce, and if you want to buy a loaf of bread that happens to be $3, $4, or $5, and you have a 1 ounce silver piece that's worth $50 to $75, how are you going to get change? So that's my biggest emphasis is practicality. How are you going to use it? That's why when I recommend a bag of silver per household, I usually give people a mix, like dimes, quarters, and halves. So that way you're ready for any kind of, size of the barter situation. If you have some silver dollars or silver rounds, you're fine. That's all right. But that's why I recommend the 90% because it's more versatile and it's more usable. Right now, and then after you get your bag of silver, I recommend in my paper that 10% of your precious metals should be the silver, and 90% should be the gold, because the bulk of your wealth, and a lot of people don't have much wealth, and then they should just get the silver. But the people that have substantial wealth to protect, the gold is such a compact store of value. A bag of silver weighs 55 pounds, so you don't want to be hauling too many of those around. Plus the storage is a problem, weight and volume. So silver is very good for barter, but it's very impractical for preserving wealth. That's why the coins, I recommend the $10 and $20 Liberties in the low grade, 1/10 ounce American Eagles, Maple Leafs, Kruger Rand, they sell a lot of those. I mean, it's just very, very practical coins, so you don't pay a huge premium. The high mint state coins are a big ripoff. They're not for the common person who's trying to preserve wealth or for collectors only, but these coin companies, they misrepresent them. They're tremendous investment coins. You're going to make a lot of money. They dangle the dollar signs in front of everybody, but it's not about dollars. It's about preserving wealth. You're not going to look
all right, let's go to Bob, who's calling us from New York. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
All right, Dr. Monteith. How are you
doing? I'm doing fine, thanks.
A question for your guest there.
Go ahead.
You mentioned about, keeping precious metals around in small change. Mm-hmm. I remember you referenced it earlier that Roosevelt outlawed gold.
Yes.
Now, what happens if they do that again? They outlaw precious metals.
Well, that's a good question, and they no doubt will do that just to be ornery. So that's why you need to, you know, again, that's why you need to be very, very secretive in what you do. I mean, when you buy gold and silver, the beauty of it is it just kind of disappears. You know, you make it disappear. Either you can give it to your children, or you can put it someplace. You can bury it on your property or hide it. You know, and just kind of, it kind of just disappears. So,
I think
if they confiscate gold again, that's why I steered normally people, I steered away from bullion, because American Eagles, Maple Leafs, Krugerrands, it's confiscatable. That's why the 1 ounce American Eagle has a $50 face value, because that's its confiscatable value according to the law. It doesn't make any difference what you paid for it. That's all they're going to give you in paper money.
I think, Bob, you're going to wait till that happens and decide what you're going to do. But I feel that if that happens, then the government has broken its contract with the people.
What?
Anything else, Bob?
Yes, sir. You mentioned about the banks and withdrawing money. And I've had a problem like going in and cashing checks.
Mm-hmm.
And banks I've done business with for 20 or 30 years, so you don't have two forms of identification. And I've gotten in a couple of bank managers' faces about it.
Well, but see, they have to do what the Office of Homeland Security tells them to do, because you might be an Islamic terrorist.
Hey, well, that's exactly what they said, and I was flabbergasted. I said, I mean, goodness, you know, I've taken $20,000 in loans out from you over the years for one bank and paid back every penny, and all of a sudden you don't know who I am.
I know. Well, you see, the thing is that this is all being staged in the name of fighting terrorism. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and I think that it should be so obvious to our listeners that in the name of fighting terrorism, we're giving up our freedom. Could that be why the CIA financed the Islamic terrorist movement as it began in Afghanistan in the 1980s? Why we brought the radical Ayatollah Khomeini to power in 1979 and toppled a man who was a friend of the United States, the Shah of Iran? Is that why, of course, we financed the Taliban along with the Pakistans and the Saudi Arabians? And is that why we have repeatedly refused to try to take out Osama bin Laden? Do we need an enemy to justify taking away our freedom? I don't know. What do you think about that, Bob?
I think you're right on the money.
All right. God bless you. Hey, we're out of time. But please tell other people to listen to our program up there in New York.
Yes, sir.
God bless. Bye-bye.
You too.
Okay, fine. Well, we're just about out of time, Cal. What are your parting thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners? And let's get that telephone number out just one more time.
Yeah, one more time. It's 717-648-2682. That's 717-648-2682. I'll send you my paper on gold and the scams and all this other information on emergency banking order. One more thing, the availability is starting to be a problem now. It is a problem right now getting coins, because there's been so much buying. It could be that people are going to get to the place where they're finally going to decide to buy some gold and silver, and there's not going to be any available.
Because I think
we are there right now, so it's really time to do something.
You really think that, of course, they're keeping the price of silver down artificially, but of course they can keep it down, but what happens when we begin running out of silver coins? There are only a certain number. We've melted an awful lot of them. Are you really having difficulty getting silver coins now?
One of my suppliers, I could not buy a bag of silver from him 2 days ago. I didn't have one today either. The other one had some, but it's a serious problem right now, and this is what I feared, you know, months ago when I saw this all coming.
What about the silver? What about the silver rounds and the other things of that sort? Silver.
He didn't have any of that either.
Well, it's going to be interesting as this thing unfolds out there, and I just hope and pray that our listeners will make preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead. How soon they are, I don't know. Mr. Vogt says 30% chance we can something will happen soon. 60% chance we'll muddle along for a while. I think we'll muddle along for a while. But down the road, there's no instance in all history where a nation has gone into a fiat money system and survived. There's no instance in all history where a nation has turned its back on God and that nation has survived. Cal Grunwald, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
And thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night, and we'll be talking to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, this is Cal Grunwald, and again, his number there is 717-648-2682, and Cal does help support Radio Liberty. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and of course, we like to suggest several books that you, if you have not read them, you need to understand what indeed is happening financially in America today. The Creature from Jekyll Island, by Ed Griffin, that's The Creature from Jekyll Island. The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, it's just a little short book by Professor Sutton. Gold, by Professor Sutton. Fiat Money Inflation in France, which is the story of what happened in France in 1789. It's the story of fiat money systems, the story of what happened in the early 1700s when John Law talked the King of France into going along with the idea of creating money out of nothing to create prosperity and pay the government's debts. And of course, and it worked very well. It really did for a time. And then, of course, it began to fall apart, and so they had to print more money, and they had to print more money, and it's sort of like what Mr. Greenspan's having to do right today. Anyway, the story of fiat money in France is what happened in France in 1789, and of course, we also have a video. It's entitled, A Phenomenon, Monopoly Men. And if you'd like to, of course, get any of those items, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Now we have our September and our October newsletters deal with finances. You can go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Our September newsletter tells you what Alan Greenspan really believes, not what he says to the public, what he really believes. And it also tells you what Warren Buffett really believes and what Warren Buffett is doing. And here's a man who started with a $100 investment in 1956. And, of course, within the last year or two, his investment in Berkshire Hathaway was worth $40 billion. So that's pretty good appreciation. He knows what's going to happen. He's certainly works very closely with George Shultz and with certainly with the Lord Rothschild. They're all, of course, in this together. They know exactly what where we're headed. And, of course, he is shorting the dollar, investing heavily in silver, waiting for the difficult times to arrive. But he is going to survive and make a great deal of profit, while, of course, so many people here in America are going to become impoverished. So if you'd like to get our September newsletter or our October newsletter, we'll send you. And I would get, I think if you were going to get one, get the September newsletter. And we'll be glad to send it to you free of charge. You have to ask for it. Specifically, September, call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Now, they're both up on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. We do hope, of course, that you'll go to our website, look at some of the items we carry. We have the Sanjian Home Radio, the Robinson Home Curriculum. We carry Miracle 2 soap products. But, of course, one of the things we have are the Berkey water filters, the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light. And we recommend everybody have one of those. Valuable whether we have radiation attack, because you would, of course, be able to filter the radiation out of the water, the radiation particles, and, of course, if there was a shortage, water supply was turned off, why, you could always get water someplace and run it through there, and it would be potable. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 if you're interested in any of the items we talk about. And, of course, if you'd like to, let's join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Quite frankly, we would appreciate it. Certainly our donations have been off somewhat since this last couple of months, as with many of the ministries, and would like to, of course, end this year in the black. So if you believe that we have an important message, and a message you're not going to get elsewhere, and remember, we don't get paid for what we do. Like Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly, we don't get fantastic salaries at all. We do what we do because, well, we want at least some people out there to know what's happening, and we feel that we've been called to do this, and we believe we're involved in a spiritual battle, really, for the survival of America, but even more than that, for the souls of men. And so if you believe that there's a problem and you'd like to become part of our family, 1-800-544-8927, please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us Dr. David Kennedy, and we're going to be talking about one of the most incredible stories in America. You know, you often wonder, would it be possible to keep a secret from the entire American public? Well, of course it would be. I mean, during the Second World War, why they kept the Manhattan Project secret, and that, of course, was where they were building the atomic bomb. We didn't know they were working on a secret project until the bomb was first bomb was dropped on Hiroshima. They've kept a lot of other secrets, like the study they did on the blacks in Tuskegee. And for a period of 30 years, from 1931 to 1971, so that would have been a period of, 40 years. They kept secret the fact that they had recruited black men into a study. They had syphilis, and they were told they were going to be treated, but they weren't recruited to be treated. They were recruited not to be treated, so they would die, so they could autopsy them. It was all done in the name of science. And they kept that secret. A lot of people across America knew about it, and everybody went along because it was done in the name of science. They took our children in orphanages across America. They fed them plutonium in their cornflakes. It was all done in the name of science to see what would happen. And, of course, many of them became sterile as a result of it, and many developed cancers and died. But it was done in the name of science. And most Americans don't know about that. They took other orphans at some place called, I think it was Willow Creek, and they infected them all with hepatitis. They were mentally defective children in these institutions. It was all done in the name of science. But there's another massive experiment that's been carried out on the American people today. It's been carried out for 50 years without their knowledge. And that has to do with fluoridation. Fluoride is a very, very powerful chemical. Fluoride is the active ingredient in sarin gas that attacks the mind. It's the active ingredient in Prozac and Luvox and so many of the other psychotropic drugs. It's the active ingredient in halothane, which they use for anesthesia to put you to sleep, to alter your mentality. And it's also the active ingredient. They're putting in the drinking water all across America today because it decreases fertility and it attacks the mind. Could this be going on in America today with the backing of the AMA, the ADA, the American Dental Association, the government, the U.S. Public Health Service, the CDC? Dr. David Kennedy is our guest this evening. He's a retired dentist, and he's on the front lines of the battle to let people know what's going on. David, could there really be this massive experiment going on, and the American people are being deceived?
Res ipsa locutor, as they say in Latin, the facts speak for themselves. The fact that 50% of the American population are drinking raw, untreated, hazardous waste from the phosphate mining industry is a fact. And that there can be no denying.
And, of course, that contains not only the fluoride, it contains arsenic and lead, too, doesn't it?
And the amount of arsenic is sufficient to cause one additional cancer per 1,000 people drinking it. So if you have a city of a million people, then, you know, one additional cancer per 1,000, what is that?
Is that every year or?
A lifetime.
A lifetime, okay.
And so that's an additional, 10,000 people get cancer per million people drinking it?
Well, they know exactly what they're doing. This is one of the greatest frauds of all time, but if you believe in population control, what a wonderful way to begin to cull the population.
I always say don't put the person in charge of your longevity that's in charge of your Social Security.
Well, our guest this evening is Dr. David Kennedy. And, David, how did you get involved in this battle? Because, of course, most dentists are totally in favor of water fluoridation. They're brought up to believe that water fluoridation is the way to go.
Well, you know, 20, 30 years ago, I might have told you how good it was. About 1984, I joined an organization called the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology, and we were really looking at the toxicology of mercury. But over the years, we've had like 14 different scientists speak to us about the toxicology of fluoride, and that there's no way any of the members of that academy would allow you to put that in any member of their family. It's a very noxious poison. If you had an eyedropper and you had some fluoride and you dripped it on your arm, that stuff will eat all the way to the bone. It would, if you're a water worker and it splashes on you in a substantial amount, the doctor has to amputate whatever arm or leg or limb that it attacks because they can't keep it from killing you. They have to cut the limb off. This is a terrible poison. Shall we put it in the water? And because it works in toothpaste, should we have you drink it? I mean, why does it work in toothpaste? It kills whatever it touches. Of course it works in toothpaste. If I invented an arsenic toothpaste, would you start think I was an idiot? Of course you would. You know, but arsenic would work, lead would work. You know, anything that's terribly poisonous would probably work as a toothpaste.
And of course what the fluoride does, it kills the bacteria. It interferes with their enzymatic activity. It kills the bacteria. It cuts down, and of course it's the bacteria that create the cavity. So it really does work, but of course what does it do to the human body, and how much of that do you absorb into your system of this poison that you're putting, which is your toothpaste?
It kills their brain, their bones, and their thyroid at the same time. There's lots of stuff you can kill bacteria with, like baking soda and salt. The germs, I mean, why don't pickles rot? You know, they're sitting in, here's a cucumber that you stuck in vinegar and salt, and then, you know, a year or two later you eat it, you know, so why didn't it rot? Because it's in a bath of baking soda, or not baking soda, but salt and vinegar. So you can destroy the germs that cause tooth decay with very safe products. You do not have to use hazardous waste to do this. This is just ludicrous.
And I agree with you totally, and the fact that they're able to get away with this simply reflects the degree of control that exists today of what the American people think. But what we have to do, of course, is acquaint the listeners of this program with the scientific studies, because there are lots of scientific studies to show the disastrous effects of water fluoridation, the great experiment carried out on the American people. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening, David Kennedy. And David Kennedy certainly works with Jeff Green. And what is the organization? What's the name of the organization you work through?
Citizens for Safe Drinking Water.
All right, fine. And of course, David and Jeff and the other members of that organization are on the front lines of this battle, trying to get the truth out to the American people. But because of the degree of control of the media, because of the degree of control over the AMA, the average doctor has no idea what we're talking about tonight. The average dentist has no idea what we're talking about tonight. And, of course, he is really, if he does ever speak out against fluoridation, he will be attacked and vilified. And I don't know, have they ever taken away their licenses because people in the dental profession have told the truth, David?
Yes, they've attacked him all the time about various issues that are simply questions of science that conflict with the august opinion of the trade show organizations, you know, the people that take money from all the people who got stuff to sell. But they also control your dental and medical boards. And so, you know, if they don't like your attitude, then they attack you economically. So I'm very happy to say I'm retired, and I spend all of my retirement funds on fighting for America.
Well, you know, there's a fellow up at the University of Toronto who is a professor there in the Department of Preventive Dentistry. Is that Lineback or Linebacker?
Lime, L-I-M-E, back.
Linebacker.
Hardy Lineback, and Hardy used to promote fluoridation, and then he looked at the science, and he said, it seems to work topically, not systemically, and if you put it in the water, then that would be a systemic explosion. It's like sunblock. You don't drink sunblock. You put it on your skin. And so he began to make noise about, you know, how he thought it was a topical application, not a systemic, as have been determined by 20 years of research. And what did they do? They tried to get him kicked off as a professor from the dental school. They did take away his job as a spokesman for water fluoridation for the Canadian Dental Association, and they attacked his credibility. His, you know, they said he was a bad professor. He was not a team player. Well, what's a team player mean? You subscribe to their myth. And but anyway, the good news is he's still there at the university, teaching the students the truth. And so maybe the students in at least one dental school in the United States will be hearing some facts from a professor that knows.
Well, you know, it's so interesting. I called up Professor Lineback and I talked to him. I asked him to come onto our program, and he said it so sadly. He said, "I can't do it." He said, "I've been threatened. I can't risk my family and my job to speak out." He said, "You can look up on the internet, you can see what I've said, but I cannot come out publicly and talk about this or they will take away my job." So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the way that this secret is being kept, and there are not very many people as courageous as Dr. Kennedy is. And of course, I can understand Professor Lineback's position. I mean, would you risk your family, your pension, your medical insurance, your home, your savings, just to do what was right? And Dr. Lineback, I said, and he said it so sadly, I can't do it. I'd like to, but I can't. Well, Dr. Kennedy is doing what he's doing. I'm doing what I'm doing. But how many people out there are willing to join with us to get out the truth? Now, let's go down what we know about the effect of water fluoridation. First of all, what about this idea that water fluoridation prevents dental caries? Now, certainly, I know my dental friends tell me about the dramatic fall in dental caries, you know, over this last, 40 years, you know, since we've been fluoridating water and since children have been taking fluoride tablets. So how do you respond when people say, look, ever since we started giving children fluoride tablets and fluoridating the water, but giving children fluoride tablets, why, of course, this is their teeth are ever so much better?
Well, there's two points that I want to make. Is one, in that same time period, there's been an enormous increase in the number of children with learning disorders and crime in our community. So if you want to be a simple-minded idiot and say, well, I saw this and therefore it causes that, there is no cause and effect relationship has ever been established by a scientific study between the level of fluoride in the water and tooth decay. There are lots of studies showing that it doesn't work. And so you can't say because there's a drop in tooth decay. And the other point is in that same time frame, other countries like Norway, Finland, Sweden, Denmark, and it goes on, that do not allow fluoride in the water supply have had an even greater drop in tooth decay. So while the proponents of fluoride may point to, anecdotally, oh, tooth decay is going down, duh, well, I say crime has gone up, duh. And so these are anecdotal remarks. You can't prove that caused this.
Well, of course, one of the things we can very definitely say is the learning capacity of our children has fallen. I mean, if you look at, we compare us with Czechoslovakia or Latvia and Lithuania, why, our kids test on the international test much more poorly. Now, everybody wants to say it's a poor quality of education. How much of that do you think is the effect of the brain on the brain of the fluoride? Because we know that fluoride lowers the IQ. This has been found in studies over in China and communities on at least two different occasions. And there's much, the animal studies show exactly the same thing. Lowering the IQ, could it be that we're lowering the IQ of the children of our country by fluoridating the water and giving them fluoride tablets?
Unquestionably. That fluoride at one part per million, the exact same level that the dentist claim is beneficial, if you put that in the water of an animal, a rat in this case, a laboratory rat, that the rat in just 52 weeks, 1 year, has lesions in its brain, arteries, and kidneys. And the lesion in the kidneys are so severe, they weren't certain whether the lesions in the brain were caused by the lesions in the kidney or whether it was a separate phenomenon. It doesn't make any difference. Is it levels of fluoride that are devastating to rats. Now, to understand, a rat is almost impervious to fluoride. It takes almost 20 times more fluoride to kill half the rats than it does to kill all of the humans. And so, you know, a rat's not a good animal to test this on, and it shows that fluoride is enormously toxic to the brain, arteries, and kidneys of a rat. So the likelihood that you can take a baby and put it on a bottle at a level higher than the rat drank, and not cause a disabled baby that is going to have, you know, goofy neurons for the rest of its life, is impossible. The baby is going to be damaged. There's no question about that. And we're not even talking about the amount of arsenic and lead that's in the contaminated witch's brew that they stick in the water. They've got the raw, untreated hazardous waste. And I'm not kidding about that, Doctor. It's basically the elixir from the pollution scrubbers of the phosphate fertilizer industry. They can't legally dump this on the ground. They can't pour it in the ocean. They can't leak it into a river. They can't spew it into the air. But if they can talk the people of Oakland, California, into buying it for $3 a gallon, it would cost them $1.60 a gallon to dispose it in the hazardous waste landfill. And so they've got a $4.60 profit right there on hazardous waste. Isn't that amazing if I could sell hazardous waste for a $4.60 profit per gallon?
Well, now, of course, there are some very, very serious questions involving this whole impact of fluoride on the mind. And there have been numerous studies. What about Phyllis Mullenix's study? What did she find when she did the experiments with rats, both prenatal and postnatal rats?
Two different responses. If she took pregnant rats, and she gave them a single burst of fluoride, and she used a blood level that's identical to what every person's child experienced the last time they went to the dentist and got a topical fluoride treatment. That she didn't use enormous levels, as the critics claim. She used the same level and a single burst that your child had the last time they had a topical fluoride treatment at their local dental office. And that in one burst caused a permanently hyperactive rat. She did it another way, where she exposed rats after they were born to levels of fluoride in the water, and she caused a permanently couch potato rat, reversibly couch potatoes. When they removed the fluoride, the rat recovered. And so what that means is that fluoride is neurotoxic, and that means it damages the brain.
What happened to Phyllis Mullenix when she actually...
She got fired, of course, from Harvard. They said that the National Institute of Dental Research, a division of the United States Public Health Service, Center for Disease Control, threatened Harvard, the Forsyth Dental Research Institute, and they said, if you allow this woman to publish this kind of research that's critical of our favorite project, we'll make sure that you never get any more research money, which is several $100 million a year. And so they said, well, Dr. Mullenix, don't publish. And she said, I'm sorry, I don't withhold my research because bureaucrats and politicians give me a hard time. And they said, well, if you publish, we'll fire you. And she said, go ahead. And they did. And so she sued them for unlawful termination, and that they said, well, she was working on subjects that she wasn't supposed to. And so what she did, she pulled out the letter that Jack Hine wrote her, the head of the Forsyth Research Institute. Jack was a part of the Manhattan Project, as a matter of fact. I noticed you mentioned that earlier. Anyway, Jack had written her at Boston Hospital for Children, where she works now, and said, please, Dr. Mullenix, come and research mercury and fluoride here at the Forsyth Dental Research Institute. Well, she did fluoride, but she never got to mercury. So the jury, or actually the court, decided that Dr. Mullenix was fired inappropriately and gave her a check for her troubles. I call her a wealthy woman now. But she's back at the Boston Hospital for Children. In the process, they destroyed her Cray computer. She had one of the fastest computers in the world to analyze all the enormous amounts of data that comes in from digital cameras that are watching these animals. So that it was completely objective. There's no operator input on whether the animal is normal. There were 3,000 control animals in these studies. These are huge studies. We're not talking about, you know, something done in the backyard or something. These are enormous studies.
And of course, they were very, very valid. They destroyed her computer. Of course, they did everything they could to discredit her. Why? Because we can't let the American people know about the experiment. This experiment that's going on that is destroying the minds of our children. Why would anybody do anything like that? Well, we'll talk maybe a little bit more about that later on, but we'll talk about the Chinese studies that have actually been done in China showing a 10-point drop in the IQ in communities that have a significant amount of fluoride in the water. This is well known. All throughout the world, they want to get the fluoride out of their water. Here in America, they want to put it in. Does that make sense? We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. David Kennedy, and welcome your calls from out across America of 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, David, would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about those studies that were done over in China, in the communities, comparing communities where they have fluoridated water and non-fluoridated water?
Actually, there are a lot of studies. It's just only a few of them have been translated to English. I'm working with the some of the universities there that have actually done some of the studies. The one study that comes to mind is that they had two communities, one that had the same level of fluoride in the water that San Francisco does, and another community had a level of fluoride that's equal to what the United States EPA will allow in your drinking water. So one was 4 parts per million, one was 1 part per million, and they showed there was an enormous difference in the IQ of children in the 1 part per million versus the 4 part per million. The sad thing about that study is because there was no water around that had the level that's found in Monterey or Santa Cruz without the addition of any chemicals, they didn't have a low-dose control. They only had high-dose and higher-dose. But even that showed that there was an enormous problem with the higher-dose.
Now, how high a dose are we talking about?
4 parts per million.
4 parts per
which
million.
Which is legal. You can buy that. There's a water that you can go to Whole Foods or any of your local health food stores and buy a bottle of water that's called Trinity, and then it's 3.7. So you can damage your own children if that's your desire. There's water that's available in most health food stores. Or you don't have to buy water. You can go buy a Welch's white grape juice, which was 6.8 parts per million fluoride at the last measurement that I saw.
But, of course, we get it. It's in the cornflakes. It's in our...
10 it's parts per million.
Yeah, it's our Cokes, and it's in our... so many of our soft drinks are a fantastic amount so that, if you have a child, they're going to be eating cornflakes. They're going to be drinking soft drinks. They're going to get this from so many sources, even our vegetables. Our vegetables are too smart to absorb the fluoride through their roots. So we spray it on them as a pesticide, and there you get fantastic levels, and the average person has no idea that, of course, this is a fluoride, a deadly poison that'll affect their minds and their children.
And Dr. Monteef, I will tell you, in the Chinese studies, that they went and measured vegetables, they measured the other staples in the diet, and they did not have fluoride in them, because in China they don't eat processed foods. The reason, and they don't have the money for pesticides, so the reason that the fluoride level is high in so many foods, fruits and vegetables, is because it's used widely as a pesticide. Because
here in the United
fluoride
States,
kills
right.
on contact.
Right, and so it's because it'll kill all the little pests that would get into your these various vegetables, but it also has the effect of having a pharmacological effect on the people who eat it. And I used to think people who talked about pesticides were really pretty loony, and of course I'm afraid that they're not.
Well, we all have to learn at our own rate, I think. But the problem is this, here we have industry in America that has an enormous amount of a pollution byproduct, and that because of environmental regulations, they become more and more constrained in what they can do with it. And that one of the problems is that they can't, with any pollutant product, especially the fluoride, lead, arsenic, cadmium, potpourri that comes out of the pollution scrubbers of the phosphate mining industry, they don't have anything they can do with this. It's not a useful product. It can't be used in any process that I'm aware of. And so they've had to basically piggyback.
Hold that thought there for just a moment, okay. David, please.
No, I have to.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dr. David Kennedy of Citizens for Safe Drinking Water. And David is talking about how they have a situation. You have your aluminum industry, and you have your fertilizer industry. And they have, of course, they have to scrub the chimneys where they, of course, have some sort of a chemical process or fires that they are able to do. Anyway, they have this product that they get out. out of the chimneys, and of course it contains fluoride, high doses of fluoride, high doses of arsenic and of lead, and of course this is such a contaminant you cannot simply put this in the ground. You have to put it in a special dump site. Toxic dump site is very expensive to get rid of. So they've come up with a wonderful scam. We're going to talk people into putting it into the drinking water, and anybody who suggests this might be harmful, like putting lead and arsenic and fluoride into your drinking water is harmful, why these people probably believe there's a communist under every bed. They should be ridiculed, they should be attacked, they should be demonized, and that's what happens to anybody who speaks out against this process that is taking place today of poisoning the minds of our children. And I believe that one major reason why our children are doing so poorly in tests compared with students throughout the world is because they're poisoning their minds not only with fluoride but with lead as well. And yet nobody ever wants to talk about that. Isn't that amazing, David? We never hear that mentioned.
Hardly ever. And you know what? That the fluoride causes the lead poisoning to a certain degree. That there are two huge studies with over almost a half a million, 450,000 children. And that's, if you look at the largest tooth decay study, you only have 39,000 children. So there's more than 10 times more children in these two studies than all of the big broad-based blinded studies of tooth decay. And they showed that if there was hydrofluorosilicic acid, and that's the agent that's used in San Francisco and many of the other communities in California, it's 91% of the communities use this chemical, that the children had a dramatic increase in their blood level of lead, 100% increase in the number of children with high blood levels of lead. And I'm talking 10 micrograms per deciliter. They now think that 1 or 2 micrograms per deciliter is harmful. These children were above 10.
Why would anybody want to poison the minds of our children? I mean, this can produce irreversible damage to our children's minds, brains.
You know what it says in the Bible is that the root of all evil is the love of money, and that the problem is that industry has only one love, and that it does not love America, it does not love you, it does not love your family, it loves money. And that there are 11 reasons for fluoride in the water, and I'll give them to you one at a time. Money, 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 money. It's all about getting rid of hazardous waste. It's all about getting more money in the corporate pocket. And that, unfortunately, they've enlisted all of the forces of the United States government, because fluoride is part and parcel to American industry. So if you begin to threaten anything about fluoride, all the smelting industries, all the fertilizer industry, the aluminum industries you mentioned earlier, the nuclear industry, all these industries leak fluoride. And so if you begin to try to tell people that, you know, having an oil refinery in your neighborhood might be causing lung cancer downwind, then you're going to get all of the government agencies coming down on you like a ton of bricks, because they don't want you to know that. That's not in the economic interest of the industry that is doing the damage to your brain, your children, and your country.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit now. Are there any other studies on the effect, mental effect, as far as the fluoride is concerned, the effect on the brain? Now, we know, of course, the fluoride compounds are certainly in Prozac. We know they're in halothane. We know they're in sarin gas. Are there any other studies that show the permanent damage that's done? And incidentally, all of those things I'm talking about, certainly the sarin gas, produces permanent damage to the brain. That's one of the big problems. People can't think after exposure to sarin gas. But, you know, and of course, we know, of course, that the chronic use of Prozac and these other things, it will have an influence on the brain. So are there any other studies you can think of dealing with the brain?
Oh, yes. Yes, and they date back more than 50 years. And I think of Harold Hodge, the mass murderer of the Manhattan Project, in my opinion. Harold was the guy that injected people with plutonium, uranium, thorium, and radioactive lead. While the Nuremberg trials were going on, Harold had people injected with murderous levels. All of them died, so I presume there were murderous levels. But anyway, in 44, when they were trying to extract the bomb-grade uranium from the non-blow-up kind of uranium, down in Deepwater, New Jersey, they had a spill, a leak of fluoride, and he was called in there. He was the chief pharmacologist.
Hold that thought right there.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Dr. David Kennedy. We're talking about the background of this mass experiment that's been carried out on our people with terrible, terrible consequences. And the average individual has no idea what's going on because the other side controls the media. They control the great tax-exempt foundations. Their people are planted within the AMA, the ADA. They're planted within the U.S. Public Health Service, within the CDC. They're working certainly within many of our great corporations. And the last thing they want is for the American people to learn the truth. They're poisoning the brains of our children. So now you were beginning to talk about this, Dr. Hodge, who was working with the Manhattan Project, was killing people with injections of plutonium. Wasn't he also the man who began, of course, to popularize this idea how wonderful fluoride was for the teeth?
Absolutely, and you'll find his name all over all the studies showing it's a benefit, but they were unblinded studies, and so Harold got to manipulate the data. But at this plant, the pipe burst. It blasted three of the workers with a little bit of fluoride gas, and he goes down to examine them. One guy was in a coma. The other guy was jabbering like he was on speed, and the other guy was lethargic and stupid. And the Herald says, you know, this place is so toxic it's a place where only people of color should work, and that, you know, it's clearly neurotoxic. And in the middle of World War II, Harold got a $6,000 grant of money to study the neurotoxicity of fluoride on animals, and that study is still classified as secret. Is that when Cliff Honecker and other people tried to get the study out of the grasping hands of the government, they said, "No, we can't find the results. No, it's still classified." And that, so what study of rats that 60 years ago, it should be classified, showing, you want to bet the rats were damaged by the fluoride?
Well, now, Chris, don't we have a lot of other studies on rats that show?
Oh, yeah. You know, you can, if you want to find fluoride doing something, study some interaction between fluoride and an animal. It poisons every single enzyme in any mammalian system. Every enzyme in a human being is susceptible to fluoride poisoning. For example, anybody look around and see children with funny little white spots on their teeth? If you haven't, you haven't been looking. 66% of the children in fluoridated communities have at least one tooth that has funny looking white spots on it. That is a systemic poison. That means you gave that child enough fluoride either from the water supply or from his vegetables or from his post-toasties or weed.
Hold that stuff right there.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Dr. David Kennedy. And, of course, we were talking initially about Dr. Hodge, who worked, of course, in the Manhattan Project. And he was the sort of fellow who would sit and have people injected without their knowledge with plutonium and kill them. But it was all done in the name of science. But, of course, he was working, of course, with the government. They had to have some means of getting rid of all this fluoride. And he came up with the idea of putting it in the drinking water. And of course, he knew how toxic this was. He actually did a study on rats. That study, 50 years later, is still classified. Why? Because he was studying the effect of the toxicity of the fluoride on the brains of rats, and they can't let you know that the government has known all along that this was destructive to the mind of animals, and it's destructive to the minds of your children. Now, there are a lot of studies out there on the studies on animals and the toxic effect of the brain lesions that are created by the fluoride, by rats that are drinking fluoride, and exactly the levels that our children are. In fact, I understand that, Dr. Kennedy, that recently the American Academy of Pediatrics came out with an amazing directive, and that is that children less than 6 months of age are not supposed to get any fluoride?
That's correct. That was 1997.
And yet, you know, I got a call from a lady just the other day who told me that her dentist, her child is 3 months old, and her dentist is prescribing vitamins with fluoride in it. And I said to her, well, you first of all, you tell your dentist that he's violating a American Academy of Pediatric protocol and ask him why he wants to poison your child's mind. And we're even going to send her material to back that statement up.
And the ADA. And it says specifically, is it when all other sources are deficient? Well, let me ask you this. How in the world can you live in this highly polluted America and be deficient in fluoride? It's in every... I can take you to the grocery store, and we could take 100 items off the shelf, and unless you happen to pick up distilled water or pediatric electrolytes, I'll bet you a nickel to a dollar you'd find fluoride in each and every product you found on those shelves.
And so, but how are they going to keep the child from getting any fluoride then?
You can't. And so here's a child overdosed with fluoride, and some idiot is prescribing more. Not everybody gets an A in school, you know.
Well, I think the tragedy is, of course, the American Academy of Pediatrics and the American Dental Association have never told either the dentists or the doctors that they're not supposed to be poisoning our children less than 6 months of age. I don't think they ought to poison them at all, but, I mean, here you've got pediatricians who are prescribing today, you know, fluoride for children, you know, 3 months of age, when, of course, even the American Academy of Pediatrics has said you shouldn't be doing it. Isn't that malpractice?
Yes, and you know, that these suits are settled all the time. That doesn't mean they're not losing the lawsuits. It just means that they quickly settle them, give them a few dollars to make the funny-looking teeth fixed. But you've got to be an idiot to think that you can poison a child to the point where the cells that made the tooth made a funny-looking tooth, and that's the only funny-looking part of their body. Is it if you examine their brain waves, their brains are damaged? If you look at x-rays of their bones are damaged, and so they get a few thousand dollars for their funny-looking teeth. No, the kid is going to have arthritis in his old age. He's going to have neurological impairment. He's going to have brain problems. And so they got off easy.
I think that people don't understand this affects fertility. It affects the intelligence of the brain. It produces cancer. It attacks the bones. It produces premature aging and arthritis and disability and earlier death. Produces dental fluorosis and attacks your endocrine system and your thyroid, among other things. And this is all validated by scientific studies. And those of you who want to get my latest newsletter, why, of course, it gives you the sources of reference for everything I've said. And the fact that the average American has not heard that is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. So, now, let's talk about the fertility. How does this attack fertility? Do you think that the average American has any idea why so many men are having difficulty, sexual dysfunction? We know this actually, doesn't it lower the testosterone level in men?
It's a hormone active. It's also the reason that men get more bone cancer, you know, that it seems to be sexually activated or hormonal activated. That anytime you poison a man or a woman's thyroid, you're going to affect the entire function of their body. The thyroid is the master controller gland of how well your body burns food. So people end up obese. You know, they say, oh, I got bad glands or something like that. No, your thyroid's not burning the food. And that, you know, when you destroy the way the body functions, when you destroy them, it actually destroys the way that the human body functions the same way it inhibits tooth decay. Is that it poisons every enzyme system in the body so that the human body is no longer able to produce the nutrients necessary to be healthy. And a non-healthy human being doesn't reproduce. What was it Frenny showed? Was it a 20% drop in the fertility rate of people that were in the high fluoride area? That's the FDA scientist. And they got after him. They said, oh, you can't be doing that kind of research. Oh, I'm sorry. I looked at the numbers.
And, of course, isn't it true that the women who take a lot of fluoride have more difficulty getting pregnant?
Certainly.
And, of course, the men, it lowers their testosterone level. Doesn't it actually attack sperm motility?
Yes, and that and female fertility. So when you have both immotile sperm and infertile women, you have sterile couples. You know, you realize that one out of five couples in America today are involuntarily infertile? That's a terrible figure. I mean, would human beings still be on the planet if that were the case? We'd be like the panda bear.
And, of course, the thing that the American people don't know, that this is being done intentionally to them. I believe that there are people who know that this is going to affect their fertility, and there are people, of course, who want to make money, but there are other people who believe that the great threat to our society is population. And if we could only limit the population, why, of course, there would not be so many children in the world, there would not be so many people in the world, there would not be so many demands on using up the elements within our society. And there really are people who believe in population control. And I think, do you think that this might be one reason why some people would be pushing this?
Well, I don't know, but I know my friend John Yamianis always used to be reluctant to bring the subject up because he said, you know, if you brought up the fact that fluoride causes infertility, there's a fairly substantial group of people that would jump on it and say that's a good idea. And so, you know, let's poison the people on the planet. What do you think?
Well, I think that we have to bring this out because I think you can't understand a lot of the things that are going on in the world today unless you understand that there is a population control agenda. And, of course, they're getting rid of the people in Africa by different means. They're using AIDS and using tuberculosis, and they're using malaria, and they're using famine, and they're using wars over there. They've killed almost 3.8 million people in the Congo in the last couple of years. When was the last time you read about that on the front page of your newspaper?
And so you understand the devastation. That's more people than died in all of World War II.
Right.
Both sides.
No. That's three. No, that World War II is about 50 million. No, Congo is only 3.8 million. Yeah. We've got these figures down. Anyway, somebody had just called in, and they wanted to know about autism. Do you think there's any relation to autism? Now, there seems to be a definite relationship between autism and mercury in the vaccines. Is there any evidence that fluoride would play a part in this, or does fluoride influence getting mercury into the brain?
I don't know. I know it extracts lead from food and other sources, I haven't seen any studies, but, you know, no studies doesn't mean it's not happening. This means there are no studies.
All right. I think that maybe has to be the answer. I think that it may well be. Now, we know that certainly the fluoride helps to get the lead into the brain. We just don't know whether it helps to get the mercury in.
It's very likely. You know, it's in drugs as what's called an activator, and it's used to carry the drug, you know, like it's in fenfens and fluramine. You mentioned fluorethane, but it's on halothane also.
Right.
And so I asked an anesthesiologist for an inhalation anesthetic that did not contain fluoride, and his eyes rolled down to the left, up to the middle, and then over to the right, and he said, there aren't any. And so, you know, all of the anesthetics contain fluoride. So what is that? It's a neurotoxicant. It puts the brain to sleep. So you know, inhale a lot of fluoride and go to sleep.
And the other thing is, of course, that it's also a carcinogen, isn't it? That I'm talking about the
powerful
fluoride.
Carcinogen. You're absolutely right. And that in addition, you know, the rats that had to drink 79 parts per million fluoride in the National Toxicological Program study, and this is to give you a reference, toothpaste is 1,000 to 1,500 parts per million. So, you know, these poor rats had to drink 1,000 parts per million. They had cancer of the lip, tongue, throat, liver, and bone. And so, you know, you can't say it's not a carcinogen because everything that fluoride touched, from the lip, tongue, throat, liver, and bone, it caused cancer. So it's a very powerful carcinogen.
And, of course, we know that Dr. Yamianis did studies where they compared the cancer rate in fluoridated communities and non-fluoridated communities. It was up about, 20% or so in the fluoridated communities?
I think it was 10, but that was 30 years ago, but it was 75. It showed the areas that had fluoride in the water showed a 10% increase in the cancer death rate, and that's different than causing cancer. That means that that 10% more people died of cancer in that community. It doesn't mean it caused it. It just means they died of it. So that means that if you have some disability, like for instance this case, we're looking specifically at cancer, that your chances of survival were diminished by 10% by having that chemical in the water.
Okay, well, let's go to Matt, who's calling us from Michigan. Hi, Matt. How are you doing?
Hi, Doctor. Dr. Kenneth, excuse me, answered my one question regarding the toxicity of fluoridated toothpaste. And I presume fluoride is water soluble. And I got to thinking, gee, I think he might have mentioned the fertilizer and perhaps herbicide production. And I was curious if you thought the what I'll call Asian orange herbicides being water soluble, I have heard, wouldn't those be a serious threat to loved ones who might be walking around in bare feet on the grass in the summer, or even pets?
Now, of course, you're talking about Agent Orange, which is a dioxin compound.
Actually, Dr. Stan, I'm somewhat tongue-in-cheek referring to the Roundup or the whatever herbicide people spray through True Green Chemlawn on their lawns every summer, being water-soluble. And I was thinking, is there a connection here with fluoride, which must be water-soluble as well?
Do you have any thoughts at all what Matt's saying, David?
Well, certainly fluoride is water-soluble, and that's actually one of the big differences between the alleged benefit of natural fluoride versus hydrofluorosilicic acid. Natural fluoride that's found in the granite and so forth is very insoluble. It's calcium fluoride. It actually can be made into a beautiful lapidary stone. And so it's not very soluble at all. And then the fluoride in the hydrofluorosilicic acid is a sand fluoride acid that is extremely soluble. So, you know, the solubility does play a big role. I'm not a great fan of putting dioxins and Agent Orange on, parklands and places where children might crawl and play. But
I don't think
they're the same thing.
Do they use dioxin here, and is there any relationship between dioxin and Roundup?
I don't know about Roundup. I know dioxin is a byproduct of burning white paper, so that your traction incinerators that they were so popular at one point in time have, a huge plume of dioxin coming out of them, so it's not a particularly beneficial substance.
Well, you know, I think it's really amazing that the government lied about dioxin for almost 30 years. Well, let's see, from the time of the end of the Gulf War, pardon me, the Vietnam War, that would be 1974, up until, just the last couple of years, I think about 2000, they finally decided to admit that dioxin did produce birth deformities and did produce lymphoma and leukemia and all sorts of physical disabilities and, I believe, some neurological problems. So after lying for 25 years, they finally said, "Oh, shucks, well, you caught us, and so we're going to give the veterans some benefits." So I think, Matt, we're in real trouble when we have people in government who lie and nothing is ever done to them. You've ever noticed that? They're never punished for lying.
Well, Dr. Stan, this is what motivates me, and I continue with my crusade of talking with whomever I meet within my sphere every day, and I direct them to your program. And Dr. Kennedy has a website. I have two brothers who are oral surgeons. They think I'm a Looney Tune.
Well, I'll tell you what, have them get in touch with that. Why don't you give them copies of my latest newsletter, which I think is well documented, gives you the real background on water fluoridation. That's the November newsletter. If you don't take it, Matt, why, of course, you give us a call and we'll be glad to send you one, or it'll be on the internet while you'll be able to pull it down here in about 10 days. That's the November newsletter, which is really all about water fluoridation. Exactly. Did you have anything else you wanted? First of all, David, do you want to get your website out there? So
yes, there is a website. We're talking about fluoride tonight, so let me give two websites. One is Keepers of the Well. It's all one word, keepersofthewell.org, and that's all devoted to the congressional investigation. We do have some good people in Washington, D.C. Unfortunately, they're outnumbered, but we have some people that were willing to ask some hard questions and get some of the liars into situation where they're testifying under oath. And then my website is Save Teeth, SAVETEETH, Save Teeth, one word, .org. And I talk about lots more besides fluoride. It's fluoride, mercury, and how to stop gum disease and how to raise your children free from tooth decay. But those are two well-referenced websites, and it would be a good place to start your search for the truth. And that, you know, the biggest...
That's a truth or truth? I'm sorry.
Both.
All right. Matt, anything else you want to ask?
No, Dr. Stan, that's it. Thank you kindly, and God bless you both, and have a happy, joyous, peaceful holiday.
Well, how about Christmas season? God bless you, Matt. Bye-bye.
And keep educating your brothers.
Right. Well, anyway, of course, we could go down the list of things. We've talked about the impact of fertility, lowers the testosterone level, makes women infertile, lowers the fertility rates, and in animals, why it lowers the fertility. Doesn't it actually increase miscarriages in animals?
Yeah, and Down syndrome babies, we missed that, and the hip fractures. Increased dramatically. It doubles after about 25 years in women of drinking fluoridated water. So my short list is cancer, hip fracture, dental fluorosis, neurological impairment, bone pathology, and thyroid dysfunction. Those are the proven effects of swallowing fluoridated water.
And of course, you didn't mention specifically the incidence relationship to cancer.
Well, that's true. Cancer, all cancers are increased by drinking this stuff. Specifically, the cancer of the bone in young males, the rats came up with a rare form of liver cancer. That doesn't mean it produces liver cancer in the humans, but it certainly would make one suspect that would be the case. The liver is a big filter. It filters the poisons out of your body. And so if it's filtering a poison and it gets cancer from doing that, you'd have to figure it's probably going to cause it in humans, too.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest today is, this evening, I should say, Dr. David Kennedy. And, of course, his website is saveteeth.org, saveteeth.org. And David, of course, works with Citizens for Safe Drinking Water and retired now. So I think hopefully he'll be a more frequent guest on our programs. He can help us to get the information out. And what helped me is I want to put together a syllabus that you can take to your dentist and say, why do you want to hurt children? And, of course, your dentist will be offended. Of course, he doesn't want to hurt children. So you give him the scientific studies, and this is what we have to do, is be able to show him the scientific studies and let him read them and ask, you know, could this really be true? And is it possible that everything he learned in dental school, everything he hears at dental meetings, everything he reads in dental publications is a lie? Is that possible, David?
That's an article I'm working on as we speak. I have an article titled "Everything I Learned in Dental School Was Wrong," and you know I learned to drill away a lot of tooth in order to prevent recurrent caries. Now that's known to be false. I was learned to cut off gums to stop gum disease. Gum disease is an infection. It's kind of like if you went to medical school and they learned to cut off limbs to stop a hangnail. You'd think that was ridiculous. Well, anyway, everything I learned in dental school is 180 degrees out of phase with the peer-reviewed scientific literature. So that's an article I'm working on at the present time, really.
All right. Well, I think there's so many things that the things I learned in medical school that, frankly, are not true. And so we have to search for the truth, and our job is to try to prevent damage to people. And remember, fluorides affect the fertility. They lower the intelligence. They attack your brain. They produce cancers. They attack the bones. They attack your thyroid. They, of course, produce infirmity in the communities where they have large, high doses of fluoride in the water. These people age much more readily, and they die early, and they have all sorts of arthritis and infirmity. It produces dental fluorosis, and it disrupts your endocrine system. So, David Kennedy, thank you so very much for being with us. And go ahead.
I was going to say thank you, Stan, for telling the American public about what's going on here. And standing up for America.
Well, we're just going to keep doing it as long as God gives us breath. And I believe that this is such an important issue, because if we can get the people to realize on this one issue they've been lied to, maybe we'll get them to begin to understand that the newspapers are not ordinarily telling the truth. Oh, there are a few out there that do, but they're outnumbered 100 to 1 by those that tell the lie. And once people understand they're lying, been lied to, maybe they'll begin to think independently. David, thanks very much for being with us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
Good night. And, of course, our guest has been Dr. David Kennedy of Citizens for Safe Drinking Water. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, I want to mention we have a great four-tape set on water fluoridation. We have a great book on water fluoridation. It's called... It's written by Chris Bryson, and all you have to do is give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, you can ask for Chris Bryson's book, and they'll get it for you. And then, of course, another one of my favorite books is written by Dr. David Kennedy. Pardon me, by Dr. Blaylock, Russell Blaylock. And Dr. Blaylock's book is Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And actually, he has an extensive area there that deals specifically with fluoride and gives you all the various references. I think it's an excellent overall summary. And, of course, he goes into mercury. He goes into aspartame and MSG. But I'm specifically going to speak with fluoride this evening and the things that you need to know about fluoride. Chris Bryson's book is called The Fluoride Deception. And, of course, you can get that from Radio Liberty. You can get Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, and you get our four-tape set on water fluoridation. Now, our November newsletter, which is just going out, it'll be going out tomorrow, we'll deal with that. And, of course, if you'd like to get a free copy of that, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, if you get any of the items, why, we'll send you a free copy of the newsletter if you ask for it. But we'll send you a free copy of the newsletter anyway. If you'd like to get one, of course, we hope that you'll want to subscribe to the newsletter and help us as we reach out 5 hours a day by radio, by internet, by satellite, and 4 hours a day on shortwave. We have an opportunity to reach people all across America. Your job, if you're listening, is to tell other people about our programs and get them listening. If they can listen both to the afternoon and evening programs, well, of course, it's afternoon for us, which is 3 to 5, then on the East Coast, that is 6 to 8, but that's at 7.535 megahertz. That's 7.535 megahertz. You can listen to our later program, which is, of course, 8 to 10 here on the West Coast, or on the East Coast, it's 11 to 1. And that's at 7.535 again, or a 5835 megahertz, 5.835 megahertz. So hopefully you'll find get the information at one of those places, and then get people listening to our programs. When they first start listening, they think we're crazy. After a while, they're afraid we're not. Because I would not come on here and risk my reputation. That's all I really have at this point of life. And tell you something that really wasn't true. I tell you what I believe to be true and what we have the scientific studies for. And we have the scientific studies by Frenny, who actually analyzed the fertility in communities that had water fluoridation and those that didn't. And if you get our November newsletter, we give you all the sources of reference where you can verify everything that has been said tonight. Phyllis Mullinex's story. And, of course, she was fired because she told the truth. Dr. Marcus, who worked EPA, the Office of Water Safety, was fired because he objected to the changing the report that showed that fluoride, water fluoridation, produced cancer in animals. And then, of course, we know that Dr. Limebach was threatened up at the University of Toronto. Many people have been threatened and convinced that they better keep their mouths shut. This is a organized effort to conceal the truth from the American people. You better find out if we're telling the truth, because if we are, they're poisoning your children. And not only that, but they're poisoning you. They're destroying your reproductive capacity. They're lowering your testosterone level. They're attacking your thyroid. Are you concerned? Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our website, radioliberty.com. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.